Amen. Let's start at our launching place, John 3, 16, as we continue to talk about our new operating system. This is out of the Passion Translation. And for those of you who don't know, I don't always stick with King James. I have nothing against the King James Version, except that I don't speak it. And so if I want to get the full understanding, I have to read other translations. And before I share a scripture with you, what I generally do is read it in every translation I can find, and then find out from God which one I'm supposed to share. Okay. And this year he has me in the Passion Translation a lot. But this verse reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life." I like to read this part like this. See, God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. As I always say, nudge your neighbor and say, you're a rescue worker. See, that's important to understand. Because rescue workers don't get in your business. They don't try and figure out why you're in the shape you're in. They're not going to come to you and tell you how you should be listening to God and doing what he said and changing your ways and knowing that you're a sinner. And no, all their job is to save your life so that you can come to those realizations, okay? And that's what we have to do. We have to stop calling sinners sinners. They need to be rescued. So look at them as those in need of rescue. And you have what they need. You know, the vision I have every time I think of this, and I know I'm digressing a little, but it's okay. I said 8 o'clock. I'm only kidding. But when God gave me that revelation, he showed me, I just saw a vision. I was standing on the back of a cruise ship. And I was standing next to a stack of life preservers. And there was someone playing and fooling around on the edge, acting silly. And I'm thinking to myself, they shouldn't be doing that. They could fall. And all of a sudden, you hear a scream and a splash. And the person is falling over, and they're saying, help, 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 help. I'm standing next to a stack of life preservers. But I don't throw it to them. I go to the edge and said, see, you shouldn't have been playing over there in the first place. That's not what they need. They need to be rescued. And that's what we need to understand about this world. They need to be rescued. And I mean, some of the way, unfortunately, nobody here does that, I know that, but unfortunately so many people crucify sinners. They don't want to come to church. I mean, they get finished talking to someone who's a believer and they feel worse than when you first, before they knew they were sinning. And after they talk to a believer, they figure, I'm just going straight to hell. There's no hope for me. No, they need to be rescued. Rescued, revived. Then they'll appreciate the teaching. Then they'll be able to make the right choices. Amen. I've become very passionate about that verse. In John 13, verse 34 and 35 gives us a clue as to how we need to rescue folks. It says, so I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers. See, there are too many hypocritical followers. And the only way the world is going to see the difference between who's real and who's not is they're going to observe us loving one another. If we can't love one another and we're in the same family, how are we going to love someone that's outside? When people feel the love, they'll receive what you have to say. If they don't feel you love them, they will turn you off. We understand? 2 Corinthians. Let's go there. This is King James, so practically everybody should have this one. Reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. So see, when we receive Jesus Christ, well, first of all, we need to understand, if it says all things have become new, if it says we're a new creation, then we must have been an old creature. There must have been something about us before that moment came. And before that moment, we were operating according to a sin nature that we achieved by birth because of Adam's sins. So what difference does that make? Well, that means you didn't really have anything to fight off the inclination to sin. So we were by nature sinners. And God didn't want to leave us in that condition, so he had this plan. He'll send his son to pay the price, the penalty for sin, and then anyone who receives his son becomes a new creature. It's really that simple. But what we have to understand, we didn't just become a new creature. Everything about the old creature died. We have to understand that so we can stop resurrecting it when it's convenient. Okay? Because that's what we do. You know, we'll use these spiritual sounding terms that God never said. We use things like, well, God is still working with me. Oh, when did he say that? No, once he gives you his word, he is through working with you. Now he expects you to do what he said. Amen. He said, if you love me, you will, go ahead and say it, it won't hurt. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Period. So once you've gotten the word about something, God's done his part. But what I want us to understand, and God gave me the analogy of computers, you know, that when we received Jesus Christ, a new operating system was downloaded. And we found out that it's not enough for it to be downloaded, it has to be installed. Because when something is downloaded, it's downloaded. How many of you have a computer savvy to any level? You don't have to be what they call a computer geek, but you know some things. You've downloaded some things. When you download it, it goes into a file. You have to go into that file, find one that says install, and click install. And once you do that, then often another dialog box shows up. And it asks the question, do you want the full recommended installation or do you want to do a custom? Most believers do custom. Why? There's some things we just don't like. If you get on my nerves, I want to tell you off. So, yeah, I'm not going to download all of the love portion of that. I'm going to do a custom download. No, and usually the full download, it says underneath in parentheses, recommended. All right, that's like I put before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Okay, the full download, the full installation is recommended. Okay, and when we do that, we find out that everything about us has changed. Well, the scripture says all things become new. I have a right. If someone who knew me when my name was Foots came and said, remember you used to do this, I said, nope, I didn't do that. Said, come on, I was there. No, but I wasn't. I said, what are you talking about? I said, Foots was there. Gregory wasn't. Okay? Gregory is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Period. So those old things that used to do are passed away. Now, this new operating system has a name. Would you go with me, please, to Romans 1? For time purposes, I'm just going to read verse 17. Just the end of verse 17. It says, the just shall live by... How do the just live?
By faith.
Faith is our new operating system, folks. Everything that we do, everything that we have to experience, everything that pertains to life and godliness is done by faith. That is the way we are to operate. If we're just, how many of us are just? Then we live by faith. And what we have to understand, naturally, we live because our heart is beating. Our lungs are working. How many of you have your heart and lungs connected to a switch? You get up in the morning. First of all, if it's turned off, you're not going to get up in the morning. But, and you decide, oh, I need to breathe. Yeah, now I can live. Oh, no, no. No, it says the just shall live. Every single thing we do, everything we think, everything we say should be faith-based. Period. Because we're just. That's how we live. Faith is the system by which a believer lives. Faith is the basis for all of our thoughts, habits, standards, procedures, and principles, manner of living, and philosophy of life. Faith is our operating system, period. We've been made righteous. It tells us that in 2 Corinthians 5. And so our operating system should be based on righteousness. So with that in mind, that our operating system should be based on righteousness, the Bible tells us in Galatians that faith works through love. So if we don't have love, we don't have faith. Because if there's no love, there's no faith. And what really got me excited when I found that out is in John 14, in the Passion Translation, verse 23, Jesus said, loving me empowers you to obey my word. You think about that. Loving Jesus makes it possible for us to obey his word. Well, that's the song we just sang. I would give my all, okay? But if you don't love him, there's no empowerment. In John 14, verse 15, he says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. So we can do what Jesus tells us to do if we love him. Because that love is going to give us whatever we need to do whatever he said. So it's never a question of, can I do it? The question is, will I do it? That's really the only question. And that eliminates another spiritual saying that too many believers use. Oh, I have to love the unlovable. Who did God say was unlovable? Where is that written? It said, Bible says God so loved the world. So who's not included in the world? So if God so loved the world, then everybody in the world is lovable. Someone used to say, I would tell people, you have to learn how to hug a porcupine. I'm like, why are you considering them a porcupine? Love doesn't do that. See, in 1 Corinthians 13, it said love endures long and is patient and is kind. So if that person has quills sticking out of them and you go and embrace them and love them, because you love them, you will endure the pricks. It won't matter to you, because all that's important to you is that this person feel the love you have for them. A love that says, I don't care how much this hurts, I'm going to continue to love you. You know, when you think about it, that's what God does with us. I mean, come on, how many of us live perfect Christian lives? Let me turn. I don't want to see anyone not tell the truth. Okay. But God doesn't say, God has never said to me, do you realize all I've done for you and what I put my son through for you, and you going to do this? He's never said, he's never talked to me like that. He's never pushed me away. No matter what I did, I always felt his arms around me. Not telling me it's okay, telling me it will be okay, just go back to what I told you. And that's the type of love that we're talking about that empowers us to do what God has called us to do. Because he's only told us to do it on behalf of the other people, of other people. He expects us to obey because we love him. Now, would God expect us to do anything that he hasn't equipped us to do? Well, see, even when you do word studies, which I enjoy doing, in the Hebrew, the word obey is the Hebrew word shoma, and it means to hear intelligently. See, that's telling us that obeying God is the act of an intelligent person. I mean, there is a, I found another word that meant to act in an unintelligent manner. To act in an unintelligent. That means you're putting on an act. You're acting like you have no sense. Well, that word is stupid. That's what, stupid doesn't mean you don't know. Stupid means you know and you choose to do it anyway. Well, just think about it. I've asked this several times because it's such a great example. How many of us have ever been spanked as a child? Okay. How many of us enjoyed it? Okay. How many of us have been spanked for the same thing more than once? Okay. Well, let's think about this. Okay. It happened the first time. We were spanked and we did not enjoy it at all. Yet it was so distasteful to us, we just had to do it again. That is, I'm not going to ask how many more than twice. I mean, for me, once was enough. It's like, I got it. We're not going around this mountain again. You know, I mean, but we need to understand that. God expects us, when he speaks, he expects us to act like we are intelligent. Because when we received Christ, see, we also had the ability to receive something else, and some of us did, the Holy Ghost. He said when the Comforter comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will remind you of the things that I have said, and he will show you things to come. So if we try and use the excuse, I didn't know, what's really accurate is, I wasn't listening. Okay. Because the Bible says you have an unction from the Holy Ghost and you know all things. It's part of our new operating system. Unless you did a custom installation. Okay. God told us, he feels so strongly about faith that he said in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Impossible. The Passion Translation says, and without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. I love the way Galatians 5:6 in the Passion Translation speaks about faith working by love. It says, when you are placed into the anointed one and joined to him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. This. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. All that matters now that we have become these new creatures and have this new operating system, all that matters is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. By love. But one of the things that I have found, maybe you found it also, is that with believers, things seem to be happening. There seems to be too many believers that get upset, that get frustrated, get flustered. They panic, don't know what's going on. And it's like, well, how can these things be? Well, again, we probably are guilty of doing a custom installation rather than the full download, the full installation. But the problem is that the problem has to be, since we're to just and we're called to live by faith, if something's going on with us and we're unsettled and we're frazzled and we don't know what to do, that we must be having faith issues. Because if we were operating in faith if all the time, if we were living by faith, we'd never get frustrated. Never. Because faith says it's going to be okay. Faith says you can remain at peace. At peace. Faith said God will do exactly what he said he would do. See, that's what faith says. So when we get upset, when we get frustrated, we're not letting faith do what faith does. And there's a reason for that. How many of you remember you be dating yourselves? I'll say it this way. I remember the commercial. I don't know why. I remember commercials and jingles and episodes from some programs and things. And I remember this one about Peter Paul Mounds and Almond Joys. Because, I mean, I used to eat them by the bagful, especially during March Madness. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. Peter Paul Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't. That's why sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Sometimes we act in faith. Sometimes we don't. Okay? I mean, really, it's sometimes we act in faith and sometimes we won't. Why? Because we don't keep believing. See, if we're living by faith and we're believers, then we should always be believing. See, like faith, belief isn't something you turn on and turn off. It's not a situation happens that, oh, wait, I better start believing now. What are you talking about now? You're supposed to be living by faith. You're supposed to be always in a state of believing. Well, I didn't see that anywhere. I'm about to show you. We can't be, too many Christians are situational believers. We'll hear what we call an evil report. The doctor doesn't say, I'm going to give you an evil report. Doctor just gives you a diagnosis. We put the adjectives in front of it. And, you know, you don't just say the doctor said, he gave me this evil report. And the minute you hear evil in front of the report, something inside you just starts to knot up. And you're like, you know, this isn't going to be good. Your faith is just going, I'm going south. not if you are believing. See, the word believe is a verb. It's an action. Believer is a noun. And see, the noun should produce the verb. If I am a believer, I should always be found believing because I am a believer. Simple. But it's not always true. See, when we live by faith, we're walking by faith, we're not walking by sight. We sometimes get that mixed up. And we start walking by sight and not by faith. But in Mark 9, I'm going to share a verse out of Young's literal translation, but just to set the stage for you. You know, Jesus, they were up in the Mount of Transfiguration, and they came down, and crowd came to him because there was this man, he had a demon-possessed boy, and the man took his son to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything. And they should have been. And Jesus was upset with them, and rightfully so, because they're representing him. And it's important to understand, folks, that when we as believers fail to do what believers should do, it reflects on our Lord. Maybe he's not all that. After all, these folks are in church every day. I see them. They talk church. They have Jesus' Lord on their door. They have these bumper stickers. They have all this stuff going on. And then I ask them for some help, and then they can't help me. They went up to Jesus and said, we took him to your disciples. We took him to your disciples, and they could do nothing. Jesus was like, what am I going to do with these folks? But Jesus asked the man a question in verse 23. Jesus said to him, if thou art able to believe, all things are possible to the one that is believing. Not the one who starts to believe. All things are possible to the one who is believing. We have to keep believing. Let me read what Pastor Rick Renner wrote on that subject. He said, the word believeth is the Greek word pistis, meaning faith. However, the tense used in that verse, listen to this, it pictures a person who is already believing. It's not someone who has to start. No, they are already believing. So it's just a natural occurrence that will happen when one is believing. See, we spend, when you look at airplanes, when you watch airplanes take off, they expend a lot of fuel. Well, let me say it this way. I was told that the reason that they use those little tractors to pull the planes away from the gate, it's not that the planes don't have a reverse gear. They have to expend an excessive amount of fuel backing up. So they have this other vehicle that comes to pull them back away from the gate. We have to realize that we expend more energy backing away from stuff than we do going forward and facing it. And we get so weary backing up. But you think, it takes a lot of energy to take off. But once you've taken off and you're cruising, there's less energy in being expended. If we're not already believing, and now something comes up, we have to call on all of this energy to get to start believing again. Sometimes it's too late. Peter was walking, said, Jesus, is that you? If it's you, tell me to come. He said, come. Well, Peter gets down out of the boat, and what does he do? He walks on the water. So it's not that he can't. He was believing at that point. He was already believing. How do you know that? He said, if it be you, tell me to come. He didn't say, if it's you, come and get me, or if it's you, I'll row down, put down another boat and row myself to you. He said, no, just tell me to come. So he fully expected that if Jesus said, if the voice responded, come, that it had to be Jesus, and he could get down and walk on the water. Good job, Peter. But then he started looking at things that in the natural shouldn't be, forgetting that he was already over into the supernatural. Naturally, you can't walk on water. And so he's looking around, and people say, well, he started thinking because he was looking around. I don't agree with that theory. Because when I can do something, I flaunt it. I mean, it's not an arrogance. I would have been walking on the water. To do my moonwalk. Yeah. You ain't so bad. Jesus, yeah, thank you. You know, I mean that's what I would have. I didn't have to. If I take my eyes off him, I'm going to sink. That's fear. Faith says, he told me to come, I'm coming. Amen. A wave comes at you, you just keep walking right through it. That was fun. Send another one. You know, I mean, because you're living by faith, and it's fun, and it's exciting, and you don't have to work anything up. But Peter started looking at the things going around and said, I can't do this. And the minute he said that, he couldn't. That's why doctor said, well, you know, we want you to go and have an MRI, because we see something, and, you know, they'll even say, we don't think it's anything serious, but we just need to rule it out. Oh, Lord, I got an evil report. I don't know what I'm going to, and we don't go and get things checked out. Sometimes it finds out that it was a nasty thing that God was telling you about so you could deal with it while it's still dealable easily. You know, we always tell people, you need to stop sin when it's this small, where you can handle it easily. You don't want to wait till it gets to be my size, because then it takes you much more energy, much more strength, and you might be overcome. But if you deal with things when God tells you, usually they're still down here. Well, you just deal with it. Most of the time, it's like, I'm not doing that. And you walk away. But no, we'll say, oh, well, I thought it was an opportunity to minister to the person. Then why didn't God say, stay there and minister? Why did he say, leave? Okay. But we have to understand that when we have a responsibility as believers to keep believing no matter what comes. Keep believing. Because your faith says, it doesn't matter that I don't see the end of the tunnel. The end of the tunnel is there. And as a matter of fact, since Jesus already told me I'm the light of the world, I'm not in a tunnel. I have light all around me, and I'm going to keep going until Jesus tells me, okay, I'm finished, now go this direction. But we get to the point where I have to see where I'm going. No, you don't. Or let me say it better this way. Faith sees the end. So the question is, what does your faith see? Does it see you doing everything that Jesus said you were to do? Or does it see you failing? And you're the one who determines that. God, folks, God does not determine the outcome of your life. Your obedience to what God said determines how your life is going to go. Because if God's word said it, he already said, be fruitful and multiply. That's all we'd be doing. But there are choices involved that we have to make. He'll give us instructions. That's why he said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Because, think about this. If Jesus said, or since Jesus said, loving me empowers you to obey my command, and we're not obeying his command, we're not loving him. So we don't get the power that we need to do what he said. We don't have the power to keep believing. And see, when we get to that place where we're no longer believing, we're operating in our own strength. And we don't have the natural physical strength to deal with things. We were never designed to. Never. All of creation is designed to see the glory of God in us and respond to it. Doesn't the scripture say that all of creation is groaning until the sons of God's revealed? Creation is like, when is this going to happen so we can stop dealing with hurricanes and stuff uprooting and all these other things? Man, pity these poor prey animals. They're like, will you guys get it together so I can stop running? But all of this stuff is a result of sin coming into the world. Right. Now, I was watching. God didn't design animals and insects to pretend to be something else just so we could kill it. That's not the nature of our Father. That's the nature of the adversary. And creation is waiting. Guys, they're probably cheering us on. Get it together so we can go back to living normally. But it all depends on whether or not the believer is going to believe. Are we going to keep believing or not? That's what it boils down to, folks. And that's what we have to understand. Let me get to where I want to be. Going back to that word believeth, this is not, it says it's a person who's already believing. This is not someone who once had an experience of faith in the past. Rather, it is a person who is presently believing right now. He didn't just believe in the past, he is a believer. His faith is actively reaching forward right now to grab hold of what God has promised. His faith is habitually, consistently, constantly and unwaveringly straining forward to take hold of that desired goal that he sees before him. That's what faith is. Faith is the spark that causes the impossible to become very possible. But if you don't have faith, there's no spark. There's no ignition. Nothing happens. We have to keep believing. That's why Jesus said, all things are possible to him who is believing, to him who is believing. And see, I feel for that father, because up until that point, he was surrounded by people who didn't believe. Jesus was the first person that said to him, do you believe this? All things are possible if you are believing. He's like, oh, okay, I believe, but you got to help me with this. Why? Because he has to get going now. He has to get up to momentum quickly. And it happened quickly. Because he was moments after that, his son was healed. If he wasn't believing, it wouldn't have happened. See, folks, you need to understand that. It's not just because Jesus did. He told people, your faith made you whole. Be it unto you according to your faith. He didn't say to the blind man, in name of all the power vested in me as the Son of God, I proclaim you sight that to come back. He didn't do that. He didn't say, with all the power of my Father God, sight be restored. He said, be it unto you according to what to your faith. Be it unto you according to what you are believing. Not according to what I'm saying. What are you believing? If it was according to what Jesus was saying, we'd all be living the perfect life. But we're not. Why? Because we don't keep believing. And we all have different views and opinions as to what we should be doing with our lives. Or it may be more accurate to say what we want to be doing with our lives instead of just doing what Jesus told us that we could be. And I love the Passion Translation's version of how Jesus responded to Jairus, or Jairus, however you want to pronounce it, when he was told that his daughter was sick. Then he said, they came back and said, don't even go. She's dead. Verse 36 in Mark 5, Jesus refused to listen to what they were told and said to the Jewish official, don't yield to fear. All you need to do is keep on believing. Yes. That's all you need to do. They come back, she's dead. Jesus said, don't listen to that. Keep on believing. Keep on believing what? What I said. I said, I'm going to come. You asked me to come so the child be whole. I said, yes. Nothing's changed as far as I'm concerned. You keep on believing. You. And when he got there, he had to put people out. Why? There was too much unbelief. He needed everyone there to keep believing. That's right. He needs his church to keep believing. With too much, we're in panic mode, and I really don't understand why. The word of God has not changed. We're looking at everything that's going on, you know, in the world, and we say, you know, racism is running rampant, and you know, you have Christians who love God and love God's people saying horrible things about our president. And think they're right. When God said, pray for those in authority. When God said, love chooses to believe the best of everybody. So what are we saying? That there's some politicians we don't love? When we're called to love and to show love, God never said you have to like them. He said you have to love them. You have to pray for them. And I haven't found any scripture, if someone has, you can share it with me. I haven't found any scripture where it says pray people out of office. I haven't found it. I found where it says pray for those in authority so that you may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so as I look around, I don't see us living a quiet and peaceable life. And it's because we're too busy trying to pray away instead of praying for. We have to keep believing that even if it is the wrong person, it's the same God. And as long as the church continues to act as the church, everything's going to be all right. Because we operate based on our new operating system. Not the same system that the world uses. But we have to keep believing, folks. I'm trying to get finished to let you go. When Jesus, you know, told the boat to go over to the other side in Matthew 8, and they all got in the boat and began to cross over to the other side, and Jesus was exhausted, so he fell asleep. Suddenly, a violent storm developed with waves so high the boat was about to be swamped. Yet Jesus continued to sleep soundly. Okay. The disciples woke him up. Save us, Lord. We're going to die. Faith doesn't say we're going to die. Faith says we're going over to the other side. And they're like, we are going over to the other side, but it's not the other side of the water. Okay. But Jesus reprimanded them. Said, why are you gripped with fear? Where is your faith? In other words, he's saying, what are you upset about? Why did you stop believing? That's all. Then he stood up and rebuked the storm and said, be still. Instantly, it became perfectly calm. Every person in that boat had the same power, the same authority to speak to that storm and say, be still, and it would have stilled. But they were too busy being afraid instead of being faithful, operating in faith. They were operating in fear. How? Because their knowledge, this is key, folks. I've been guilty of it. Their knowledge of the worldly consequences was more than what their faith can accomplish. How does that happen? You spend too much time studying the world. Yes. I spent, when I was diagnosed with hypertension, I had never heard that word before. So I spent time studying hypertension. I learned all about it. I learned about its reputation. And I'm thinking, this can kill you. I mean, that's... I didn't spend time reading what God said about my health. I didn't spend time reading things about my faith. I spent time reading, this is what the number should be. If the number gets high, you need to do... And the first time I went to the hospital because I had a blood pressure spike, it was 140 over 90. I'm in the hospital because it was never that high before. So that spike, it made me, I thought I was having a stroke. I did. I had no feeling down my arm and all, you know, and I panicked. I wasn't a believer at the time, so I didn't know anything else to do but to panic. But once I learned, once I became a believer, I didn't take the time to find out what God had to say about that. I continued to be responsible. You know, a responsible person, if you find out, and you tell the doctor and you take your meds. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I left a key piece out. God, what do you want me to do about what they said? And if he says to me, go to the doctor, take the prescription, I go to the doctor and take the prescription. If he says, lose weight and exercise, you lose weight and exercise. If he says, eat more raw garlic, I eat more raw garlic. Whatever it was that he says. But I spent time studying it myself, studying the effects of it, and then I became fearful of it. And then I started making this dumb confession. It was really dumb. Every time I'm scheduled to minister, my blood pressure spikes. Not remembering, you shall have whatsoever you say. And every time I was scheduled to minister, that Friday or Saturday, I'm in the hospital, not with 140 over 90, with 220 over 180. Why? I gave it permission. Because I reeled out saying, it spikes out of control. And guess what was happening? It was spiking out of control. I was repeating what I heard and read. Yes, labile hypertension, 1 minute it's fine, next minute, it's just through the roof. And guess what was happening? 1 minute it was fine, the next minute, through the roof. But in my ignorance, God kept me. And one day, my spiritual twin brother, we were looking at the ministry schedules, and I said, I'm scheduled to minister. I'm like, he said, what's the matter? I said, every time I'm scheduled to minister, my blood pressure just spikes through the roof. And he looked at me and he said, why do you keep saying that? I got an attitude. Well, that's what happens. And he was like, okay, if that's what you want. I'm like, what do you mean if that's what I want? No one wants that. He said, why do you keep saying it? And I'm like, yeah, but, oh. Thank you. You know, like, thank you, big brother. Okay. And I stopped saying it, and it stopped happening. I mean, that's just one. I decided I'm going to keep believing, even though my body may not be feeling like it's healthy. That doesn't change the truth that it is. Amen. And I just keep believing that. Yes. And whatever God tells me to do, I'll do. 99% of the time, what God tells me to do, I'll do. I don't want to stand in front of you and make you think that I never miss it. I never, you know. No, that. I'm not even going to use the excuse that I'm human. Sometimes I'm stupid. Okay. Because I'm just being honest with you. I cannot stand in front of you and tell you every single thing God tells me to do. I do it, and I do it immediately. No, I'm not there yet. Should I be there? Yes, I should. Do I have any excuse? No, it's stupid. I already know what happens when I don't do it. You know, I mean, and we need to be that honest with ourselves, folks. We have to be that honest because there's work that we have to do. Let me close this. Say, we have to keep believing. Okay, I'm going to read James, 6 verses in James 2, and then we're going to quit. But nudge your neighbor gently and say, this is what it comes down to. Either you have faith or you don't. Either you're actively believing or you're not. Get real with you. Okay. James 2, it's King James Version, begin with verse 20. It says, but what do you want to know, O foolish man? That faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If we are not active, if our faith is not active and alive means we're not producing, we're not doing faith-filled acts, our faith is dead. Because if faith is present, the associated acts of faith are also present. And not sometime, all the time. Would you please stand to your feet for me? Because situations and things are going to come. Jesus said, in this world you will have. He didn't say you might have. He said the thief comes. He didn't say it might come. He said he comes, and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. That means that's his intent. But he also said, I've come so that you, now think about it. The thief wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came so we'd have life and have it more abundantly. So life abundantly must trump steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, which one are you going to believe? That's the, and then once you believe it, you have to keep believing.